let them fall by the side of the road, and teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. And I know he lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on through temptation, 'cause he
Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us, your sheep. So many times, so many times, I have come asking for something. But Father, let this prayer be about thanksgiving to you, thanking you for your protecting us, your sheep, from all hurts, harm, deaths, and dangers. Thanking you for providing us with excellent or good health in our old age. Giving us sane minds, wealth, prosperity, intelligence, joy, happiness. Thank you for all that you do for us. Amen. You know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And you'll find that in Proverbs chapter 34, verse 19. This morning seems like the song wanted to pray while wanted to play while I was praying. And that's just one example of the things that those of us who believe in God go through. If it's not one thing, it is another. Now, my pastor preached that sermon many, many years ago. It was in the early 70s, around 1971, 2, or 3, somewhere around in there. And it is true. I have lived my life so that I can attest to that. If it's not one thing, it is another. All this week, and starting last week, I have had a gut feeling. I don't know about what. It may be something that I have said or will say. I am just trying to do what the good Lord, I believe, has instructed me to do. So the program that I had done this past Tuesday, I erased it because I thought maybe there was something that I had said in that. And if I had, I apologize. You know, I had heard a pastor say, "What can a person, if you have not gone through that, what can you say?" And a lot of things that I may talk about, I have not gone through. And I know that 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22 says, "Do not touch my anointed one, and do no harm to my prophet." So I apologize for even saying that in the last program that I erased. I may radio to reinstate it. And if not, then hopefully they will allow me to do it again if I choose to. But right now, what I want to do is pick up where I left off, and I pray that God will allow me to read the rest of chapter 7, all of 8, and chapters 9, and then give my comment, because there's something in chapter 9 that needs to be cleared, and I want to be clear in whatever I say to you, sheep. Here goes, chapter 7. We're reading from the book of Genesis. Oh, excuse me, let me introduce myself. I am Sandra Harris, your hostess for the Feed My Sheep program. And I serve the Almighty God, even though there are things that I may do that people disagree with. For instance, I love going to the casinos here in Detroit, Michigan. That's what I do whenever I have extra money. So that's what I do. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 5. Of course, sheep, you know to have your pen, pencil, paper, and pad, along with your King James, with your New King James version of the Bible, because that's where I read from. Now, let me get on with the work of the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 5, book of Genesis. It reads, "And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark of the waters of the flood." I missed the word because. Let me read that again. "So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wife went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, of beasts that are unclean, of birds and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two, they went into the ark of Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the water of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the foundations of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open." So it tells you that the rain began on February the 17th. Verse 12 reads, "And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after their kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark of Noah, two by two, of all flesh, which is the breath of life. So those who entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut them in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The water ceased and the water increased and lifted the ark and rose above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth. And the ark moved about the surface of the water, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth and all of the high mountains under the whole heavens were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upwards, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh that lived and moved on the earth, birds and cattle, beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both men, cattle, creeping things, and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Chapter 8. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made the wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were subsided. That means they started going down or went down. The fountains of the deep of the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from the heavens were restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested on the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the Mount of Ararat. So on July the 17th, the ark, or the boat that Noah built, rested on Mount Ararat. And that's in eastern Turkey, according to the maps that I looked at. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the top of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from him a dove to see if the waters had abated from the face of the earth, and that was to reduce in its height. Abated means to be reduced or went down. But the dove found no resting place but the soles of her feet. So the dove was a girl dove, or a woman dove. And she returned to the ark to him, for the waters on the face of the earth, for the waters were on the whole face of the earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. He waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had abated from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent the dove out, which returned again. Excuse me, let me read that over again. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year of the month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. So on February 27th, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds, cattle, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Abound means to be plentiful. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing that I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Chapter 9. In chapter 9, you'll find that this is a very important chapter here. That is, in my mind. Let's read chapter 9. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on every and all that moves on the earth, and that all fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Everything that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even all the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. So you need, whatever you eat should be dead. Surely, for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother. I will require the life of a man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons, saying, and as for me, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. A covenant is an agreement. And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, for all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again, this is the covenant, never again shall all flesh be cut off by waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Now, that is the covenant that's between God, man, and all the beasts and everything that was in the ark with Noah. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation. Perpetual means everlasting or never ending. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So whenever you see a rainbow in the cloud, you know that God is remembering his covenant with man and the earth, according to Moses' story here. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh on the earth. Now, the sons of Noah who went into the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan, and that's important to remember. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3 and 20, that's where Eve had said, Adam had called his wife Eve the mother of all living. And, you know, after the flood, she actually became the mother of all living. Verse 20 reads, and so Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. This is important, see. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Now, as far as I know, Canaan is now called Israel. Okay? Verse 23 reads, but Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backwards into the tent and covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So, and this is very important, Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. So, Ham is Noah's younger son. And this is what Noah said, not God. Noah said this to his son, Ham. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. He said, you shall be to your brothers. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Chapter 9 is very important, sheep, for you to understand, because chapter 9, verses 24, is where Noah curses his youngest son, Ham. And some people have misread that and misinterpret that to think that God cursed the son of Ham. Now, a lot of people think that the son of Ham is black people, but I'm thinking that the son of Ham, the children of Ham, are where the country of Israel is. Now, I could be wrong, but the one thing that I want to be clear about, and I want everyone that hears me, understand that according to Moses, Noah cursed his youngest son, Ham, for seeing him naked. And Noah blessed his other two sons. Noah said that Ham would be a servant or a slave, not God. So if there is anyone that is out there with the misconception that this is why people of color or black people in America should be slaves, you read Genesis chapter 9, starting at verse 24 through 28. According to Moses' story, Noah was in a drunken stupor, and he was uncovered in his tent, and his youngest son saw him naked and went out and told his two other brothers, and the other brothers covered their father's nakedness. And when Noah awakened, he cussed, he put a curse, or said a curse, be on his youngest son, not God. So all of you intelligent people out there, understand that there is no biblical purpose. God has not said, period, that anyone should be a slave, especially according to this. So don't misunderstand. Read the Bible and know that there is no basis for another group of people calling themselves superior over someone else because of what Noah has said. Noah is not God. Well, I've come to the end, and I will be back with you next time. But before I go, I'd like to leave you with this prayer. Or before I say the prayer, I want you to remember Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, the things that God hates. He hates the proud look. He hates the lying tongue. He hates those that shed innocent blood. He hates those that devise his wicked schemes. He hates those that are quick to do evil. He hates false witnesses. Don't show any discord among brothers. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for giving us our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Bless us, Father. And remember, sheep. Take God along with you everywhere you go. And if it is the good Lord's will, I will be with you next time. My heart.
tried to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause he